line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Stormy Bonantoni with you alongside Will Hill, who's in for our guy Michael Lombardi, who he's getting some time off, but he's also like still working, which always got to give our props to Lombardi for that. The calendar never ends for him. But Will Hill, host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. You can also catch him on the Bear Bets podcast with Chris Felica. And Will, the NBA parlay luck did not carry over for me last night. I'm a little bit emotional. 2 days in a row just didn't happen, but you cashed your Miami ticket, and I know you leaned Baylor as well, so you did well last night, at least in college hoops, right?
Should have bet more. Yeah, I actually took every dollar I had, and I had so much faith in you, I put it on that parlay you gave.
Stop.
So I'm gonna need to pick up another job, some extra hours here, whatever it's gonna take. Typically you send me the loser, you come away with this 23-1 on Sunday. I never get that text, and then you stick me with a loser last night. What cost you? I saw, what was it, the Pacers? And it was one other game.
I loved the Grizzlies money line yesterday against the Nets. And how did that work out for me?
I mean, those words, you said it. I love the Grizzlies. Why would anyone love the Grizzlies?
So I love it.
The dog days of the NBA.
You texted me though last night. Are the Nets back? No, they're not back. They're still an 8.5-point dog against the Magic tonight for a reason. But what just a brutal lie. Like, and that's a bet that I swear I felt so confident, and you knew 4 minutes in that it wasn't going to be my day. Brutal.
Yeah, it's funny betting the NBA. Sometimes, like, there's two ways to do it. Just check the score at the end or when there's a few minutes left in the fourth quarter, or just or sweat it the whole way. It feels like if you sweat it the whole way and you're up by 10, you have that anxiety of, all right, this lead isn't any good. But if you fall down by 10, you have that feeling of doom. At least this is how I am, where, oh, man, I'm down by 10. This game isn't going my way. So it's tough. You get some crazy swings in the NBA. But we get a day closer to the tournament. Lighter card last night. We get some games tonight. There's a few games on the card I like tonight. There's an NBA future I like. Almost 6.5, 7-1, something like that. But last night, Miami, that was just a lot of points. They were within the number the whole game. It was interesting. It was shaping up to be a bad beat for Miami because that was close the whole way. And then you look like 3 minutes left. Carolina's up 13. Uh-oh. Things could get wonky here at the end. Maybe fouls. Who knows? But Miami goes on a crazy run and almost steals the game, almost wins it. So be careful laying these inflated prices this late in the season. I think these books, especially standalone games, these public teams, these favorites, the books kind of know which way you want to bet. And sometimes these lines are just a little too high. So was that it for you last night? It was just the parlay?
Yeah. And I ended up like splitting off some of those as well. Like I took the Heat plus the points as a standalone, and I did not expect them to ultimately win that game outright without Jimmy Butler, without Tyler Hero or Tyler Rozier. So credit to Miami. And I know we had Nick Whalen on the program yesterday who said when we were asking him about the Eastern Conference, he said that the Heat were a team that was intriguing to him. They certainly looked good yesterday against Sacramento, 121-110, the final there, despite getting 7.5 points in that spot. And I also tailed Whalen on his Jalen Brunson assist prop because he said for whatever reason Brunson's always getting that number set at around 7.5, sometimes even 6.5, and he's just programmed to go over. He had 12 yesterday, and that game ended up having a super controversial ending because the Pistons were a huge underdog. They were getting 11 or so points in the game, nearly put themselves in a position to have the upset outright in regulation, and a really, really bad no foul there late in the final possession as the Pistons were trying to get back and get on their side of the court. And even the official after the game said that it was the wrong call. So that's an unfortunate ending for Detroit that had the Knicks on upset watch.
Yep, it was certainly a bad call. At least good for the ref for admitting it was the wrong call. I didn't see that part of it.
Doesn't help Detroit, but... Yeah.
No, it doesn't help. Not that they want any help or anything. I mean, they are a rudderless ship. We talked about it yesterday. They might not even have the worst record. The Wizards are charging hard towards the bottom. The Wizards are going to give them their money's worth in terms of getting the worst record. I think there's a chance that Detroit, as bad as they've been, this historic losing streak, they might not even finish with the worst record. It's just a disaster because they've actually had some high picks. They gave the coach $1 billion to coach that team for whatever reason. I mean, Cunningham, people liked Ivy. He got a bunch of lottery picks. It's not like... they've been picking in the middle of the lottery. They've had some decent picks. They didn't get great luck with the lottery when sometimes they had the worst record. They end up with the fifth pick a time or two. But yeah, it is not going well for Detroit. And you got to keep an eye on the Knicks now because the Knicks need to get healthy. I know Randle is a polarizing player for a lot of Knicks fans. Some people are hot and cold on him. Some people are down on him. But they need his 24-10. And without Anunoby, without Randle, They need to get healthy. They're just a beat up team right now, and they're getting a few points tonight at home against the Pelicans. I don't know. Is that anticipation that they might rest some of these guys, Brunson and maybe a couple other guys, and say, hey, it's a back-to-back. We're all beat up. We can't afford any more injuries, so we're going to rest some guys. That might be the case. So Pelicans laying a short number here in the Garden. Knicks on a back-to-back. So I don't know if you have any more NBA parlays you're going to bless us with. Has anything caught your eye here?
No parlays for me tonight. I do have a little action in Rockets Thunder, and I know at the end of the show today, we'll officially go through each and every one of our official picks for the day. But I did lay the double digits. I laid the 10 with OKC in this spot. They just beat this team in Houston 123-110. SGA had 36 in that game. He's had five straight 30 plus point games now. They have the best cover home record in the NBA right now. Rockets are not a good road cover team. They've lost 7 of their last 9 games. Just a lot of things I feel like working against Houston in this spot, and OKC has a way of being able to win at margin. So I definitely like them. And then there's a couple other things I'm thinking about, but nothing I've fired on just yet. Are we thinking about doing anything with this Celtics 76ers line tonight? I just feel like you can put anything up against Philly and I want to fade them.
You might have the right idea. I'm not in the habit of laying double digits in the NBA too much. It's just, we see it all the time. We saw it last night with Kings Heat. Oh, this guy's out, that guy's out, that guy's out, all on the same team. And what do they do? They win by a comfortable margin on the road as underdogs. Sometimes I think what happens when these stars are out, the other team takes their foot off the gas and just relaxes. Say, all right, we got an easy win here. We can sort of coast. And then they get buried. These guys that are backups go into a starter role, and the guys that never play get moved up to a backup role, and they're hungry. They want the minutes, they want the money, and they come out and they pull upsets. We saw Davis and LeBron a few weeks ago in Boston. Both are going to be out. All right, Boston, I think it was favored. They closed my 15-point favorites, Boston did. And Boston was never in the game. So you see that a lot. You see a lot of strange things in the NBA. So I just think betting NBA sides in general this time of year, it's very very careful. Be very careful. It's very dangerous. Read guys like JVT who are on top of not just the injuries, but some of the trends, because it's certainly the dog days. We're past the All-Star break. Not that long until the playoffs. It's sort of the NBA goes in and out of the clouds. And once the tournament starts, once we get March Madness here in a few weeks, people, I think, forget about the NBA a little bit. And then once that tournament ends, you look up and you only got a week or so until the playoffs. So NBA kind of comes in and out of the clouds, during the season. At some points, it's in the spotlight, and at others, it's off the radar a little bit. I do have a spring training play. I did play under 8.5 Yankees Rays. So that one is starting now. I don't know if it's still on the board, but if people want to sweat that out with me, it's a little day action, a decent pitching rotation for both teams. My buddy MLB Dream on Twitter, who's been a regular guest on Vees, and he's always on with Hoops Peterson during the baseball season, he gave this one out. So I'm tailing him here. Decent pitchers for both sides. So got to have a little daytime spring training action. Can't just sit here sober and not have any action.
Leave it to you, Will. What a guy. And we will talk a little Major League Baseball later on, analyzing some futures. I know you have some season win total unders that you want to give out. We'll have a couple guests on the program today as well. Zach Cohen, he actually did an article on VSiN.com earlier today or maybe late last night when it was posted on the AL Cy Young market. So talk to him about that as well as college hoops. We'll have Von Dalzell, NBC sports betting analyst, join us in hour two, as well as Josh Edwards, who's an NFL draft writer for CBS Sports, get some of his perspective on what we might expect with Combine Week ahead and the draft coming up in April. But let's go back to college hoops here for a second, Will. You also leaned Baylor last night. I know. Did you end up firing on the 2.5? Because they obviously beat TCU upset. I know both teams had some scoring droughts, but TCU, whoa, going into the break and coming out of halftime were really rough.
Just a small bet. I didn't feel great. I have a hard time pulling the trigger in a big way with these road teams, but that was a good number for Baylor. Obviously a good spot for them, a decent matchup, a TCU team that maybe has gotten a little overrated. So it's hard pulling the trigger on some road teams. I did take one tonight, and there's another road team I'm looking at. I actually like a couple of road teams, but they're getting points in two of them. They're getting a lot of points. Another one is a shorter number. So decent Tuesday card here. Again, they don't really spread out the card that well for us. Saturday, always have a million games. Then Sunday is quiet. Monday's quiet. Fridays are quiet. Then they jam pack it into Tuesday and Wednesday. But we're getting close. What's 18 days until the selection, 19 days, something like that. A few weeks from now, we will have the brackets in hand. The madness will be beginning. So an exciting time of the year. Conference tournament's like a week away. Again, everything's a little pushed back this year. St. Patrick's Day for the selection show. Usually that's a week or so early. So everything is a little pushed back, but it is an exciting time of the year. I think we may have buried the lead too, because we are going to have a segment or two here where NFL division odds are not up yet anywhere. So I went ahead, I took the initiative and I made them myself, and you're going to bet against me. You're going to find anything where I made a mistake. So you and I are going to go head to head here. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I'm excited about that exercise, especially because you know how much our guy Michael Lombardi loves to come on the program and say that Will has 800 jobs. He's the GM of all of these teams. Well, now he's also an odds maker. So I can't wait to get into some of those numbers and see if maybe there's some value on the board, or if I can take you for something. Are you going to put limits on me? Do we know that? How much am I allowed to fire on some of these?
I'll track your behavior. Here's the thing with this exercise: I am the king, I'm the czar. So if I like your bet, I'll take it. If I don't like it so much, maybe I'll give you the spin cycle, maybe I'll limit you, maybe I'll just reject the bet and move the number. I could do whatever I want here. So you're in for some trouble.
Wow. Well, by the way, because you mentioned the spin cycle, is there anything worse than that feeling as you're trying to fire on a live bet during a game and you just get the little thing and then it's the number has changed. Like, are we for real? Are we serious right now?
And sometimes they move it from like 115 to 117 to 130. Just take the bet. Who cares about the number? I just want the bet. It does get annoying. Absolutely.
Yeah. Really grinds my gears. But that'll be fun. We have plenty of NFL news that we're going to get to after this break as well. Separating the insignificant from the impactful in news or noise, specifically looking at some NFL headlines. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't read Steve Mackinnon's latest article up on VSiN.com yet, now's the time. Steve reveals the top college basketball betting trends for the final 2 weeks of the Power Six Conference's regular season. He also details which teams over the last 5 years have had the most and least success late in the year from a straight up and cover perspective. He's got home and road trends, revenge spots, and more live now on the new and improved VSiN.com website. Iowa with an interesting system match tonight that we'll share a little bit later.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
Since you are going to be the game master a little bit later with these NFL division things, you know I had to subject you to one here early on the program as well. Time for news or noise. I'm going to throw a couple headlines at you, and I want you to let me know if it's newsworthy or if it's just noise and we can throw it away. It doesn't matter. I have a feeling this first one is pretty newsworthy, though. ESPN's Adam Schefter has reported it's unlikely franchise tags are coming for running backs this offseason, meaning guys like Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler will all be free to shop themselves to the highest bidder. News or noise?
Yeah, you're right. This is news. Those are all guys that you think could still help a team. Jacobs, it wasn't that long ago where he led the league in rushing. Barkley's obviously still a good weapon. I mean, once you get a little bit older with these running backs, you get up there in age, they lose a little something, but I think these are all guys that can still help a team. So I will go news here.
Yeah, I just wonder what the perceived value on the market is going to be, because all these guys have high expectations for their contracts. But
that's a different story.
That's a little bit of a different story. Sean McDermott, in a rare sit-down interview with The Athletic this week, was quoted saying, "It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when as it pertains to winning a Super Bowl." McDermott compared the talk about him and the faction of fans who wanted to move on from him as a head coach to his mentor and now AFC obstacle Andy Reid, who endured a similar criticism when they were at the Eagles together. News or noise? McDermott says it's not if, but when his team raises a Lombardi trophy.
It's noise. I mean, we listened to Russell Wilson yesterday talk a good game about, hey, I want to win not one, but two more Super Bowls. These guys all say what people want to hear, but I don't know. I'm not necessarily buying in. They've had their chances to win, and it feels like that 13-second game against Kansas City a couple years ago still lingers. It still haunts them. They've lost two home playoff games since then. I mean, that's home against Cincinnati 2 years ago and then home against the Chiefs this year. It's rough when you lose a home playoff game. When you lose on the road, you at least, hey, next year we'll come back a better seed, better record. You get the game at home. But you lose at home, you got nowhere to go. So to me, this is totally different.
Well, in fairness to Sean McDermott, this is a little different than what Russ had to say yesterday, right? Like, come on.
Yes. Yes. It's not as outlandish. That was, not as outlandish.
I actually love that this information came out in back-to-back days because it's a very, very different thing. And the Bills are still very much so in the window. I just wonder, you had the opportunity this past year with the Kansas City Chiefs at home. Yes. You have a fourth quarter lead and you're not able to finish the job. They've won four straight AFC East titles. They've gone to the playoff five straight years, but have not been able to get past the Chiefs or the Bengals in the postseason. This year, I feel like, is going to be critical for Sean McDermott and this Buffalo Bills team.
But Russell Wilson said, I would like to win two more Super Bowls. So nothing about that was factually like incorrect. I would like to. It's outlandish, but okay. He's not guaranteeing anything. McDermott's basically saying, oh, it's going to happen. I mean, how do you know? It's a single elimination. You're in a conference with Mahomes and Burrow and Herbert and all these great quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson. Like, you don't know. I mean, I guess technically it's true. 100 years from now, maybe at some point they'll win it, but it doesn't mean it's going to be with him. So I don't know.
I just think about the 17 straight years of doing nothing before McDermott showed up, that like the fans should be a little bit more on his side than they are.
Is it McDermott or is it Allen?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, it's fair question. And we know that Josh Allen, you would put him on any roster and be extremely grateful that he was your quarterback, especially given the landscape that we have right now. But he's had his fair share of issues, especially when it comes to the turnover problem. Let's go to Chicago, where Bears wide receiver DJ Moore said, quote, I still don't think they compare, talking about the quarterback prospects in the draft right now, to Justin Fields. So wide receiver one in Chicago, steadfast in his belief that Justin Fields is their best option, news or noise.
I am going to go noise. I'm not caught up on everything, but last I saw, DJ Moore was not promoted to general manager. He's still just a receiver, so this is noise. If you saw some of the comments today, I meant to screenshot it and pin it. I'll find it during the break. The comments were pretty adamant. I think it was by the Bears GM that, hey, we're going to do right by Justin Fields. We're going to get him in a good situation. If we trade him, we're going to let him know. We're not worried. Caleb Williams doesn't want to play in Chicago. It's all the signals are there that they're going to trade Fields and they're going to draft Caleb Williams.
Yeah, Caleb Williams still a $9 favorite to be the top overall pick in this year's draft in Chicago, sitting in that spot. In 49ers country, it looks like we might be making a little bit of progress on Steve Wilkes' replacement, a defensive coordinator. Apparently, Kyle Shanahan told Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area that they should finish it all up by this week. In terms of getting a hire, they completed interviews with both Chargers former head coach Brandon Staley and an internal candidate in 49ers defensive pass game specialist Nick Sorensen. And I think either one of these are somebody that has familiarity with Kyle Shanahan, something Steve Wilkes did not. And that was problematic for a fit in San Francisco. News or noise that the 49ers have interviewed Staley and Sorensen for the role?
I'll go news just because they're still one of the two or three best teams, if not the best team in the league. I think they got the shortest odds to win the Super Bowl. So I'll say news. This would be interesting from a Lombardi line standpoint because Lombardi loves Kyle Shanahan and he can't stand Staley. So that'll be an interesting dynamic if Staley's the defensive coordinator. I'll be fascinated to see that.
When I brought this rumor up to him initially before the interview process had began, he was just like, show me where Brandon Staley has proven anything that he's a good defensive coach. It's not there. I love how fired up Michael gets about Staley.
You should have told him, I watched the film and it's there. You should have gone back. No, I don't know.
I said,
I thought he did a decent job with the Rams. What was it, that COVID year? Again, I'm not here. I don't know the film. I'm a fan. I don't know, but he was highly regarded. Not only his year with the Rams, but he was such a hot commodity. He was like, Georgia coach of the year, his first year with the Chargers, it unraveled. And I really think he got away from doing it his way. He was going for it on fourth down. He was so aggressive. And then he got criticized when it didn't work. And he kind of shriveled up and got away from that. So I don't know. I guess he's fine. I really do.
I just hope whoever ends up getting hired actually is a fit, because I don't want to go through what all the talent that this 49ers defense has and have it not work out, especially late in the season when those moments
are
most
important.
Do
you have a preference for who it is?
Staley is not my favorite human being from a coaching standpoint, but maybe, you know, sometimes guys are just better as coordinators than they are as head coaches. So maybe that'll be a better spot. I don't know.
What is it? You don't like the fourth down stuff?
I just don't like the, I mean, yeah, I think that the back and forth on it is an issue for me, and not being, and just like saying the not taking ownership and accountability for when his defense has sucked with the Chargers. Like, that's another issue that I've had watching him, is that he said, there's nothing wrong with the defense. I'm going to keep calling plays. I have belief in what we do. And then it doesn't.
I think that was, that the Green Bay game where he was very almost defiant after the game? Yeah. Again, everyone handles losing differently. It's hard to handle losing well. But I agree with you. I don't think it's a bad point.
What about this next one? So last year, we know the league implemented the one-year test of the fair catch rule that allowed returners to fair catch any kick beyond their 25-yard line and begin possession at the 25. Did not go over well. Traditionalists hated it. Only 22% of kickoffs were returned last season. So the NFL is looking at ways to improve that part of the game and also make it safer. News or noise, the league competition committee is discussing the XFL kickoff that essentially puts 20 players 5 yards apart deep in the receiving team. Team's end. No players are allowed to move until the ball is fielded. News or noise?
I'm going to go noise. I just think it's too gimmicky, and I don't think they'll actually do it. Not that it's a bad idea. I haven't really thought about, you know, the positives or the negatives. It just seems too extreme. It seems too gimmicky where this is going to get voted and approved at least right away. I think they'll need to see more from the UFL maybe, and then decide in a year or two. By the way, can we get the UFL started? I mean, the whole idea of the UFL, the whole appeal was, there's no football. There's a void between the Super Bowl and March Madness. And you got like a month there where you can kind of mark your territory and everyone wants to watch it. When is it starting? What are we doing?
So let me tell you this. I personally, as someone who is a sideline reporter for the league, am grateful that I got a little bit of time off, because last year it's the week after Super Bowl and it's game one. Let's go. So I needed a little breather. I didn't mind it. But it's just because of the merger with the USFL and XFL coming together. They needed a little extra time to figure out contracts and all that stuff. End of March. Last weekend of March is when we're getting June. Come on, man.
I mean,
some of these players are trying to be in training camps for NFL teams. That's the purpose of it. So they got to get done.
Now you're going against baseball. You're going against NBA playoffs. They started it too late.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be the plan for years moving forward. This is just kind of a one-off situation because they merged spring football leagues. And to go back to the news or noise point of taking the XFL kickoff, no shot that this is going to get approved. 24 of the 32 NFL teams have to approve this. And even the UFL didn't approve that model for this season when they did the merger. So what they're actually going to do is a more traditional style kickoff. The ball's going to start at the 20-yard line to be kicked instead of the NFL's 35, meaning they'd need to go 80 yards to reach the end zone for a touchback. And they're not doing the 25-yard touchback fair catch rule that the NFL had this year. They're just trying to encourage more kick returns. This past Super Bowl was the first Super Bowl in NFL history we didn't have a single ball returned. So just trying to find different things that they can work out. I just don't think the XFL way from last year is a way of the future. We're going to hit the break. Plenty more Lombardi Line to come.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use our promo code Lombardi. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Plus, our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember, you got to use that promo code Lombardi. That'll get you your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi out getting some time away. Will Hill, kind enough to step in with us, host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, and now putting some of his odds-making skills to the test. Will, what do we have in store here?
All right, so division odds are not up. I'm guessing it's because there's enough major quarterbacks that they don't want to hang a number on teams like the Falcons, the Vikings, where we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. So my guess is that's why. So I took the initiative. I made them up. I have an idea, I guess, of where they're going to be. Some of them were very difficult. Some of them more straightforward. I think I'm in the ballpark. So we'll just go division by division, team by team. And you can bet against me. You can tell me where I'm wrong. And I'm willing to take your action. So we'll start with, what are we doing? We're doing NFC first, right?
Or AFC. AFC.
AFC. We'll start in the AFC East.
Okay.
The Bills are the short shot, plus 150. Repeating is the champion, the favorite last year. I think you have to make them the favorite. Dolphins not far behind, plus 180, led wire to wire except for the final week of the season last year. Jets plus 275. And then the Patriots have already been mathematically eliminated. They are 12 to 1. You can put whatever number you want on them. What do you like here? AFC East, Bills are the short shot.
Okay, so I'm going to continue just to cross out the Patriots on the bottom.
Bold move.
I know. I think we need to throw that out there first and foremost. I wish Jerod Mayo all the best. I hope offensively they figure things out a little bit with Alex Van Pelt. That's not going to be the bet. You couldn't make the odds long enough at this point for me. Buffalo, I agree, rightful favorite. And I think that would be my pick in this standpoint for them to run it back. I mean, for the Dolphins, if they didn't win the division this year, what should make me believe that they're going to be able to do it next year moving forward, right? And then the Jets, I imagine that would be a trendy pick at this price. You probably want to give a little bit more, but I understand the liability you probably have at your book coming in on Aaron Rodgers being back healthy this year. They're going to need to do some serious upgrades to that offensive line. I don't have a ton of faith that GM, owner, head coach Aaron Rodgers is going to give New York football fans what they are hoping to get out there. What are your thoughts? If odds makers make
sense
too.
I don't see you reaching for that wallet trying to bet me on anything.
No, I'll bet Buffalo. I'll bet Buffalo to repeat.
How much you want? What do you want? 10 dimes? How much you want on Buffalo?
I'll take a nickel. I'll do a nickel.
All right. This is I get why you like these games. This is very, I feel very powerful as you know, throwing out the questions.
This is a lot of, I feel very stressed chair. Being on the other side of it. Like I'm it. Not See, sure I like
now,
it.
Now you know how it feels. Now you know what I go through. I would take the Jets. I'll just, we can copy and paste my analysis from last year when Rodgers got hurt four plays in a season. I just think they're going to have a good defense. They're going to have a quarterback. This idea that maybe they could trade for Devontae Adams. They're going to have a top 10 pick. I think that could be a 10 or 11 win team. I don't love the coach. There's obviously ways it can go wrong with the quarterback being 40, but I'm still a believer in Rodgers, the defense, Garrett Wilson. If you put Adams and again, top 10 pick, could you get Bowers at 10? Boy, that'd be a hell of a team. I'll go Jets. I think there's some value.
Don't you just feel like there's so much dysfunction within that organization, though?
Possible.
That's like, it's brutal to me. I do like the idea of Devontae Adams, though. And he is 40 to 1, by the way, in the offensive player of the year market right now, which if there's anything about the Jets that would make me want to buy in on them is if they got Devontae Adams, but I'm not so sure that'll happen. I would like it to happen.
So you're going chalk Bills plus 150.
I'm going chalk, right. Yes.
AFC West, Chiefs minus 150, Chargers 2-1, Broncos 8-1, Raiders 9-1. You could have flipped the Broncos and the Raiders. Wasn't sure what to do with those teams. I might have made the Chiefs a little light here. What do you like here?
So, I mean, I'm picking the Chiefs to win this division until another AFC West team gives me a reason not to pick the Chiefs, right? They've won the division 8 straight years. Patrick Mahomes does not know a world in which they have not won the AFC West. At minus 150, do I want to hold my money up for an entire season making this bet on February 27th? I don't know. So I would either bet the Chiefs or no bet in this division. The Chargers at 2-1. I think I should be getting a better number for a 5-win team last season and a roster that's aging and expensive and a lot of questions coming into this year and a new head coach and all of those things. So I would like a little bit more value if I was going to do a play on the Chargers, but I understand why you had to put it there because people are going to buy in on the Jim Harbaugh experience. No belief in the Broncos or Raiders. So no long shots for me in this division.
Yeah, I texted these to a couple people. I texted these to Bear and John Goulet, our great program director, and they both said Chiefs are a little short. But remember, last year, the Chiefs were, I think, minus 120, and 2 years ago, the Chiefs were plus money. So I don't know. For whatever reason, I remember 2 years ago, the Broncos had optimism because they just got Russell Wilson. Raiders just made the playoffs. The Chargers were viewed a little differently. So I don't know. I put this, in the ballpark of where it'll be again.
Yeah.
You're tying up your money for a long time. But
I could see that being like minus 160, minus 175 for Kansas City.
Yeah.
But so to your point, there's perceived value at a minus 150 price. But do I want to lay juice on a bet that I'm going to have to hold up for an entire calendar year? I don't know.
I kept your wallet at bay there, so I did a good job with that one. AFC South, this is an interesting one. I made Texans and Jags both plus 120. The Jags were big favorites going into last year. They were big favorites middle of the year. They collapsed. The Texans, is it a one-hit wonder? Or are they just the team on the rise? They're going to be a trendy pick. Colts, I made 3-1. Who knows if Richardson can stay healthy, then the Titans are way back at 8-1. What do you like your AFC South?
Will, I despise this division. I despise everything about it. And so I am actually proud of myself because I liked the Texans last year. And maybe that was just my 49ers fandom being projected onto DeMeco Ryans that I really believed in him. Meanwhile, I don't have that same feeling for Robert Saleh. Riddle me that. Who knows? But if I had to make a pick in the division, I would go with the Houston Texans. I'm a believer in CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryan's defensive identity that he's going to try to grow and develop within that team, especially when Tank Dell comes back healthy whenever he becomes available again. I like a lot of things with the Houston Texans. Jags, I just don't know if they're the most trustworthy. The Colts, Elliott, don't hate me, but I'm not sure that I'm a believer in the Anthony Richardson experience just yet. And the Titans, I definitely am not a believer in Will Levis, and they have a lot to figure out on that offensive line. They did get a really good hire with Callahan's dad being brought over from the Cleveland Browns from that standpoint. But I just don't know. This division, I don't care for.
Yeah, I wouldn't make any bets here either. Hypothetically, you would bet the Texans, or you would actually bet them at plus 120. I just feel like a plus 120. Okay, I could see them winning, but I'm not rushing to bet them plus 120. It's just not enough bang for my
buck. It's like force my hand. You made me take a bet in this division. Yes. I would take it on Houston, but this would be a no bet play for me.
AFC North. This one wasn't that easy. I made the Ravens the short shot just because they were the one seed last year. I made the Ravens plus 130. I made the Bengals plus 150. They get Burrow back. The defense didn't look good last year, but you can't put too big of a number on them. Browns plus 300. Again, this is about where they were last year. They certainly have the talent. And then the Steelers plus 800 could have made that a little longer. What do you like here? AFC North.
So this is probably, correct me if I'm wrong, the toughest division top to bottom in the NFL right now, right? Like with all of the perceived talent and ability, the potential for winning games. I think this division is really, really hard. The Ravens and Bengals do feel like the safer options here. I don't mind either one of those prices, but I love 8-1 on the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC North.
I'll book it. The wallet out. I'll book it.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. You can give, I'll take another Nick.
Who's their quarterback?
So that's a conversation for another day. We're going to figure that. Yeah, we're going to figure that out later.
Needs a quarterback.
It's not going to be Kenny Pickett. So as long as it's not Kenny Pickett, I think that whatever free agent or trade they make to bring a quarterback in there, it's going to be fine. We all know Mike Tomlin's track record. Their offense is chock full of weapons. They just need a facilitator to get the ball out properly. I think Matt Canada was a big part of the problem as to why this offense did not succeed in addition to the quarterback position. So hopefully Arthur Smith can be that upgrade they need from that standpoint as well. Like, as long as you get serviceable quarterback play that is able to give you, I don't know, maybe just more than one game with two touchdown passes for your entire career, I think that would be a benefit to this offense. If you can get that in a quarterback, I'll be happy.
I just think they're clearly the fourth best team, and yeah, they can get to nine
maybe
wins.
Maybe they
and
are, but 8-1, come on.
Hey, this is why they build those tall buildings in Vegas. You get sucker bets like Stormy coming in betting her Steelers 8-1. Okay.
Listen, I'm not betting my my whole financial savings account on this thing, but I like it, especially at that number. Maybe the real odds will give me double digits, and then I'll go fire away.
Yeah, what do you think? Do you think I was off on anything? Do you think you'll get double digits with the Steelers?
I would like it. I don't know. I don't think so. I think that there's more optimism. Yeah. I think there's more optimism about the Steelers team than you have outwardly.
I just don't think the upside is there. Okay, they can get to nine wins and Russell Wilson maybe get to 10, but like either Baltimore, Cincy, or Cleveland, one of them is probably going to get to 11 or 12. I just don't know if the Steelers can get to that neighborhood.
But the Steelers ain't no slouches. They had trash quarterback play this year and still made the playoffs. Like, I think that it's very, very within the wheel. I mean, if you got their guys healthy, Najee Harris, Warren, Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, like they have a lot of talent on offense, and we know that defensively they're capable as long as TJ Watt's healthy. So there's some interesting factors here. We're going to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, Zach Cohen is going to join us, get into the NBA slate for tonight, as well as an MLB futures play. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets. If your first bet loses, download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. an 11-game slate in the NBA today, if you want to use that promotion. Again, VSIN when you sign up. Let's talk a little hoops. Will Hill, Stormy Bonantoni with you, welcoming in Zach Cohn, VSIN.com, senior editor, NBA writer, puts up a daily NBA article on VSIN.com. You can follow him, I was going to say, on X, at Betting on X, but I feel like that's just a lot of X talk. What's going on, Zach? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Appreciate you taking the time to join us today. And before we get to tonight's slate, last night on the surface didn't look like it was going to be a very interesting slate for kind of ho-hum games. And then we had upsets and the Pistons almost getting a win over the Knicks had it not been for that crazy foul call at the end of the game. A lot going on yesterday. What was your takeaway?
I was watching that Pistons-Knicks game because I had a Jalen Duren player prop and I ended up just keeping it on because the Pistons were playing well. That was a sad ending. I mean, the Pistons really got robbed in that one. I'm actually going back to them tonight in their game against the Bulls plus 11, but I am a little bit worried about how they're going to respond emotionally. I mean, to have a game taken away from you, never easy, but I did think that they are getting a little too many points, and I think that they're actually playing much better basketball than people think. And the record overall is disastrous, but you know, they're one of the most profitable ATS teams since the start of 2024. I think it's a team that plays, you know, hard on both ends of the floor. I know Monty Williams has gotten a lot of slack this season because things haven't been all that pretty, but I do think that they play pretty hard. And I don't know, I just don't really think the Bulls are capable of blowing teams out with the way that they play offense.
Zach, how about the Hawks and the Jazz here? We see these teams all the time. They lose their superstar and the market reacts. Sometimes they overreact. Trae Young gets hurt the other night, out at least a month. What are you looking for in this game?
I like the Hawks money line. I'm actually higher on Trae Young than most people are, but I do think that the pairing between him and DeJounte Murray has not worked out. I think both of those guys really need to be playing as lead guards, and I think taking the ball out of one of their hands is not doing a good service to either of them. So I think that this is a team that is going to be better, you know, with Murray as the lead guard, Trae Young out, or vice versa. But it's, you know, it's Young out right now. That means that the Hawks have a bigger starting lineup, one that plays defense a little bit better. And Utah is just struggling right now. They were 2-8, both straight up and against the spread, before beating the Spurs last game. I think that they, you know, moved some pieces at the trade deadline in Simone Fontecchio and Kelly Olynyk, two guys that are really underrated passers and kind of make that offense hum in a way as connectors. So I do think it's a Utah team that will struggle the rest of the season. I think they're going to be trying to make up for that lack of playmaking. I really don't think they're going to find it. Meanwhile, I think the Jazz have been probably the worst team defensively in the NBA over the last 10 or so games, and the Hawks never are hurting for offense.
Yeah, and Jazz drop in five of their last six games, the lone win in that time, their most recent against San Antonio, which isn't exactly a team that you get really excited about logging a win against. From a props perspective, I know you're always locked and loaded on VSiN.com with your favorite props of the day. Do you have one that you really love tonight?
I really like Alperen Şengün over 9.5 rebounds in the Rockets-Thunder game, which happens to be a TNT game. So if you're looking to watch that game and want a little something on it, I think he's going to have over 9.5. He actually just played the Thunder last game. He had 12 rebounds. He's had 12 rebounds in back-to-back games. And the Thunder overall, for as good as they are, they struggle to keep opposing big men off the offensive glass. Last game, Şengün had 5 offensive rebounds against Oklahoma City. So if he does some damage on that end of the floor, I could see him pretty easily going over that number.
Zach, the Nuggets right now at DraftKings are plus 475 to win the title. Are we overthinking this? Is the obvious bet the best bet here? Is this something we should just bet, put it on our account and kind of forget about it, similar to like the Chiefs just betting them in the NFL? Is this a number that you think has value?
I don't think so, because I actually think that there's a number of teams that can come out of the West. It's not that I'm down on the Nuggets. I think they're, you know, every bit as good as they were last year. I just think that the Western Conference has gotten a lot better. I think that the Clippers, you know, if you told me that they were going to be healthy at the end of the year, I'd be telling you that they're going to be the NBA champions. So that's probably my pick to win it all. But I do think that there's value all over the board, because I think there's just a lot of uncertainty. I think in the Western Conference, you know, there are 4 or 5 teams that can come out of there. I do think, I just mentioned the Thunder, you know, at 20-1, that's a really good value to me, just because I think it's a team that can at least get to the Western Conference Finals, and then you're looking at a really good number to start hedging once you're there.
Well, real quickly, just to go back to the Thunder, you mentioned them on the futures board, but tonight a 10-point favorite in that game where you like the prop on Şengün. I laid the double digits today, and I just need a little bit of confidence here, because I know laying double digits in the NBA is not fun, but thoughts on the matchup as a whole?
Yeah, I hate laying double digits, but at the same time, like, we just saw them beat the Rockets by 13 in Houston. The Rockets are a much worse team on the road than they are at home, so I don't mind you playing that at all.
That makes me feel better. That's all I ask.
Sorry, I was going to say last quarter of the season, Zach. Any awards you think are mispriced? Any awards you think are jumping in at this point?
I think that Bogdan Bogdanovich to win Sixth Man of the Year is still a good value. He's available at about 18 to 1 right now. I just think that there's still a chance that the Hawks end up making the playoffs, whether it's through the play-in or not. It's a team that I do think can end up being in the postseason. I think that Bogdanovich has, you know, better stats than most of the guys that are looking at that Sixth Man of the Year award right now. It's Malik Monk at the top of the list right now, but Bogdanovich not too far behind him. The advanced metrics say that Bogdanovich is having a better season than all of them, so I think that there's some value there. And then, I don't know, like that Rookie of the Year price is a little off to me. Like, I know Wembanyama's been amazing, but I've been touting Chet all season. I think February has been Chet's best month of the entire year. So, you know, Wembanyama's doing some great things, but I think that Holmgren's also doing the same. And I just kind of think that if you were looking at the end of the year, the Thunder, you know, the first seed in the Western Conference, and Holmgren has the better advanced stats and similar counting stats to Wembanyama, I would personally say that I'd be voting Holmgren, and I would hope that there are voters out there that would do the same.
What about in the MVP market? Nikola Jokic, an odds-on favorite at this point, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, plus 250, certainly has entered the chat when it comes to where some of his points numbers are. Tops in the NFL, in the NBA in total points, 30-point games, steals. Luka Doncic and Giannis Antetokounmpo both still at reasonable prices with, you know, still a third of the season to go. Is there any chance that anybody other than Jokic can still win this award?
I think it should be Gilgeous-Alexander. I mean, he has the better of Jokic in both estimated plus minus and estimated wins. Those have been the kind of stats that, you know, Jokic has led the league in over the last three seasons. So I do think that we're kind of, you know, looking at this from an unfair lens. I think that Jokic and Embiid enter the season with a leg up on the competition, and the other guys have to do way too much to get themselves there. But Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, is doing unprecedented things at the guard position for a team that people did not expect to be a contender in the Western Conference this year. We thought it would be better for the Thunder this year, but, you know, the fact that we're talking about them as a title contender at all, and, you know, he's averaging 30 points per game and doing it on a nightly basis with, I think, less help than anybody else on this list, I think that he should win the award. I'm a little surprised that the odds look the way they do.
Zach, you mentioned the West being competitive, being deep. I don't know if we can say the same for the East. Right now, if you had to take the Celtics or the field to come out of the East, where would you go?
I think it'll be the Celtics. I think where I'm a little bit nervous about the Celtics is that they still take too many threes. Last year, that was kind of the thing that doomed them in the postseason. It's been something that they've struggled with in the past. They don't take enough shots at the rim. So I do think it's possible that if they play a feisty team like the Knicks or something in the second round, if the Knicks are healthy, like, it wouldn't shock me if they go out, but I do think that they are head and shoulders above the rest of the Eastern Conference. But I do think Milwaukee has played a little bit better since the All-Star break. They're coming on, and they still have some time to kind of gel and get Lillard and Antetokounmpo together.
Celtics, a plus 115 Eastern Conference favorite. Bucks, plus 280. Knicks, plus 850. And the Miami Heat sitting there at 9-1. The Bucks are a 14-point favorite tonight, hosting the Charlotte Hornets. And I know there's a prop you like in that game as well, yeah?
Yeah, I have Trey Mann over 11.5 points in that game. He's averaging 11.7 points per game since being traded to the Hornets. And I did say the Bucks have been better lately. They've been much better defensively. But it's not a team that I trust night in, night out. And I do think that when you're playing a weaker opponent like Charlotte, there's a chance that you don't really bring it on that end of the floor. And, you know, if the Bucks are weakest somewhere defensively, it's at the point of attack where Damian Lillard and Malik Beasley are not very good defenders. So I do think Mann is going to create a lot of separation for himself. He's a really, really good isolation player. He can hit the three. I like him to go over 11.5 points. I also sprinkled him to have 15 plus at about plus 200 odds. I think there's a good chance he scores that.
Zach, in college basketball, we talk a lot about honing in on maybe some smaller level conferences to find an advantage. In props, do you find that that's something you do in the NBA? Like, no shade to Trey Mann and Alperen Sengun, but it's not Jason Tatum and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander either. Is there value on some of those players that maybe aren't as big as stars?
Definitely. And if you're getting guys in the right situation, there's some real value to be had. Like, we're talking after the trade deadline, Mann was a guy that was not playing for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now he's a starting guard for the Hornets, a team that needs somebody to kind of lead them offensively and just play a big role in terms of usage rate. So I think that his numbers haven't quite caught up to the amount of, you know, touches he's getting and the role he has in the offense.
Zach, you're awesome. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
Thanks.
At Zach Cohen. Thanks, Zach. Follow him on social media at Betting on X. See, that's better than saying follow him on X at Betting on X. I just find that challenging. I don't know why. But Zach Cohen, great stuff. Always read his daily articles covering the NBA on VSiN.com. Gives you best bets on the side, total, or props depending on the day. We're going to hit the break here, resetting for hour two when we return. It was a busy day in the NBA and college hoops yesterday, and we still have our guy Will Hill making some division odds in the NFL. So much more to come here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.